It's good to be here to praise and worship and to lift up the name of Jesus. No higher name, no greater person than the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we're here to praise and to worship and to give thanks unto Him and to give glory and honor to the one who deserves it. Nobody else deserves the worship and glory, only Jesus.
Yes.
Nobody else has paid for the sin, only Jesus. There's no other remedy. You can't work it. You can't earn it. And so today I'm going to start with giving you a story. And we're going back in history. And we're going back to the 12th, 13th century BC. Filmmakers have made there's been a number of films about this, so it might not be a surprise to you. The films we call Helen of Troy. Most of you have heard about Helen of Troy.
Yeah.
I'm not lying to you why they call it Helen of Troy, because she actually came from Sparta in Greece. But let me tell you the story. If anyone has saw the film, then you will know that Prince Paris of Troy took Helen from her husband, Menelaus, who was king of Sparta. And he took her and he brought her to his own city of Troy. And Menelaus had a brother, and he decided that he would go and fight against Troy. And it took him quite a long time to gather the various soldiers that he required to go to Troy. And once he had gathered all the soldiers together, and they were going to set sail, they couldn't set sail. For weeks, the weather was terrible. The winds were against them. They couldn't do anything. And of course, the soldiers were getting very restless, just sitting about waiting, going nowhere. But amongst his groups, he had a man who he called a seer, called Calchas. And he told Agamemnon, who is the brother of Menelaus, you know, the gods are against you. You need to make a sacrifice. And I tell you, the sacrifice you need to make is you need to sacrifice a daughter. And so Agamemnon, he was supposed to have offended the god Artemis. He was supposed to have killed one of the animals, the sacred stags that belonged to the gods. So what he done was he sent and got his daughter. And once his daughter came, he slew his daughter. She was sacrificed. Because they had this concept that there's got these gods up there. And these gods here, they're various gods. But none of them had absolute power. Each one has some kind of power, and they had the ability to make life easier for you or to make life harder for you. Some of them had quite bad tempers. So you never knew what to expect from the gods. Some of them would take offense at the smallest thing. Some of the gods would be offended if you worshipped another god too much, or gave too much attention to another god. And of course, what would happen is they would take it out on you, manipulating circumstances so that you got hurt. And this is what the Greeks believed. The king of Sparta, his brother, they believed all of this. They believed in these gods. They believed that they had to make a sacrifice. And of course, all the thing open to them was to calm the gods, a sacrifice has to be made. But of course, when it comes to sacrifices, you know, that is a rule. The greater the sacrifice, the better. And the bigger, the better, because the gods were inclined to hold out to get the best from it. And so something significant or something sizable had to be offered to get peace with the gods and to get their favour. And so in this, these gods were seen as cruel, they were seen as heartless, they were seen as very manipulative, and they would always take advantage of you. And so if you were wise in these days, you would bow to the inevitable, and you would make an offer and a sacrifice that would be accepted. And you would do enough so you could get the desired result. And when it comes to human history, whether you go through all of history, throughout all the world, from times right up till today, human sacrifice is always at the top of the list. And it's at the top of it because it's expensive, it's effective, and you find that everywhere, there is no exception. Even the children of Israel, who had all the commandments and seen the mighty works of God done, they fell so far that they ended up offering their children to Moloch. And so, in all these religions, it is a matter of managing and manipulating your God for the desired end. You want to appease celestial beings. They can't be optional, but you have to deal with it. And the Bible calls this propitiation. Propitiation. Averting God's anger with an offering. Think of the Apostle Paul when he went to Athens. And he said, I take it, you guys are quite superstitious. You're worshipping all these gods, but yet you still have this statue to an unknown God. You're quite a superstitious group of people, aren't you? And that has been human nature. You don't need to go far to find it. You don't need to go far to different societies to find it. But in the whole of human nature, we have had this. You make offerings to the gods. And many times, it's always been a human sacrifice. And it's propitiation. You're doing something to avert God's anger by making an offering. Now, redemption, the Bible tells us, is a price that is paid to redeem you. When you go to redeem something, you're going to pay a price. But for that price to be accepted, it's called propitiation. The price, the redemption, what you offer to redeem something, has got to be at a level that's got to be acceptable. And that is propitiation. Averting God's anger with an offering. And so it's a payment, or acceptance of a payment for redemption. And it's all through the Bible. It's all through the Bible, in the Old Testament. Because the Bible tells us there's only one Almighty Creator. There's not this multiplicity of gods that people worship. There's only one real God, the Creator of heaven and earth, to whom all goodness and truth are found. And this God that we worship, moral evil is abhorrent. God hates wickedness. God hates people sacrificing life. God hates all of those things. And God does not desire the sacrifice of human life. You see, the God of the Bible is not like the gods that the Greeks would worship or the Romans, who could go into tantrums. The God of the Bible tells us he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God says, I change not. I don't change. I never look for human sacrifice, and I don't look for it today. But he did look for a way to deal with our sin. And see, the Bible shows us that our God doesn't have these tantrums. There's no capriciousness in our God. And that is to have these sudden odd notions or changes which are very arbitrary and very erratic in character. Our God is not like that. He is steadfast, he is sure, he is immovable. And so you maybe, and he's, the other thing, there's no vanity in God. There's no ill will in God. The Bible tells us that he is willing that all should come to a knowledge of the truth and that nobody should perish. And you don't need to sacrifice life in order for you to have eternal life. And so you maybe expect, you would have never found this in the Bible. But to show how bad sin was, God introduced in the Old Testament different sacrifices people had to go through. There was the sin offering, trespass offering, the Day of Atonement. They had all of these things, and God was showing this is the cost of sin. But when we come into the New Testament, we come to Romans chapter 3. And the other screen should be verse 21 to 26. But in among these verses, what do you find? For all have sinned. So it is impossible to stand in the presence of a holy God without sin being dealt with. Because the agony would be unbearable. Now many people say, if God is so loving, why would he cast us into hell? He doesn't. You put up with yourself. Because you do not avail yourself of what is required to stand in the presence of a holy God. See, if your sins are not covered and you're clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, it is impossible for you to stand in the presence of a holy God and not feel totally in agony. You would crumble up, unbearable. The holiness would emanate from his presence and you're standing there in your filthy rags. People never think. Why did God send his son Jesus? It was to deal with this problem. And the Bible said, all have sinned. All who come short of the glory of God. And so God himself is the initiator to bring redemption to us. And the Bible says here, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, the propitiation, averting God's anger with an offering. Averting God's anger with an offering. And it is through the grace of God and the redemption that is in Christ that this offering was made for sin. And it never was in the mind of man. This was conceived in the mind of God to deal with our sin. And the Bible says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. He set forth to be a propitiation, averting God's anger with a sacrifice acceptable to God. And it is through faith in his blood. Faith in the blood of Jesus. Now that's important. It's not the faith in the blood of bulls or goats. It's not faith in the blood of human sacrifices. It is in the blood of Jesus. And the main reason for that is very simple. The blood of Jesus is the blood of God. The blood of Jesus is eternal blood. The blood of Jesus is the only blood that can cleanse you from your sin and your unrighteousness and purge you from all sin. That is why the virgin birth is so important. Because when Jesus is born, the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit came upon me because the life that was in Christ and the blood that was in Christ was the blood of the living God. And so his blood is shed. And the Bible says here, for the propitiation, averting the anger of God through faith in his blood. The blood of Jesus Christ. And that's why when we go to the incarnation and we go to Hebrews 2:17, it says, you made Jesus little lower than the angels, but you crowned him with glory and honor, and you did set him over the work of his hand. Because the Bible says, Jesus took on human flesh. The Bible says he was a merciful and a faithful high priest to make propitiation, averting God's anger with an offering. As Jesus who makes an offering for sins of the people. Your redemption, your salvation comes at a very high price. It comes with the price of the blood of the Son of God. And that is why in Timothy it says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Nobody had ever heard such a thing before. Every religion that man conceives comes from man. Nothing is in comparison to what God has done. Leaving the glories of heaven, the majesties of heaven, to take on human flesh and walk amongst us. And Jesus took on human flesh, and he was crowned with glory and honour. And John's testimony is found. He said, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation. He is the one who averts God's wrath. He is the one who has took our place at Calvary. He is the one who bore our sin. And he said, for our sins, and not for us only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So the Bible says, he is the propitiation for our sins, not us only, but for the whole world. He is the sacrifice that God ordained that would take the wrath of God for sin, so that we can come into the presence of a holy God. Without this sacrifice, without accepting this work of Calvary, of this work of the giving of the life of Jesus Christ, there is no hope of redemption for anybody. There is no hope for anybody when they lose their last breath. You know, in the Psalms, in Psalm 68, verse 20, it says, unto God belongs the issues of death. Unto God belongs the issues of death. Now the Bible talks about your heart and the issues of life. And in the issues of life you can make decisions. Some of your decisions will be good, some might be terrible. But when it comes to the issues of death, not one person has one thing they can say. When it comes to the issues of death, the Bible says they belong to God and he deals with people. And when you go into eternity before him, your eyes are going in, covered with the blood of righteousness, cleansed with the blood of Jesus, covered with the righteousness of Christ, so that you can stand in his presence. Or you're going to go in there and you're going to be burdened up in torment because you can't stand to be in front of the presence of the Holy God. And so John's testimony is that God made a way to pay the price so that we don't have to pay the price for our sin. And John goes on, he said, he that loveth not, knoweth not God, is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And then, and what's on this here? Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, averting God's anger with an offering for our sins. Averting God's anger with an offering. It is the work of God himself. All the other religion, man is trying to make a way. Trying to find favour with the made-up gods. Gods which are no gods, demonic powers. But here, God himself provides the sacrifice, the offering. You know, there was Abel, and it said, God himself will supply the sacrifice. He prophesied way back all these days, God himself And what we find when Jesus came, he was our offering for sin. So it is God who takes the initiative to provide man with a way back to God. It's conceived in the mind of God and it's outworked in the life of Jesus. And so Jesus Christ is the source, he is the means, he is the substance of our redemption. There's no redemption anywhere else because God sent him forth to be sin for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us. And Leviticus, it says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And God said that I have given it to you to make atonement for your souls. The blood he gave was the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we go back to Romans 3:25, God set forth Jesus to be a propitiation, averting God's anger with the offering by his blood. What Christ did offer of God and redeemed us so that we can have eternal life. It was not because Jesus lived a good life. It was not because of his teaching. It was not because of his moral perfection. It was not because of his obedience to his Father. And all of these things are important. But what brought the turn away of the wrath of God? What was the offering? The offering was the shedding of his blood. The shedding of his blood. God's blood, eternal blood, shed for you, shed for me. Up until that time, the blood of animals could cover sin. They could never take away sin. But when the blood of the Lamb of God was shed, he takes away all sin. And we get covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And because when God looks at us, he sees the righteousness of Christ, and we can come into his presence. Without that covering of righteousness, there's no hope. So when propitiation shows up in Scripture, as we looked at in John chapter 3:25, 1 John 2:2, and 1 John 4:10, it is always Jesus himself who satisfies the demands of God. Nobody else satisfies the demands of God. Jesus Christ, him only. Nobody else. It's the innocent taking the place of the guilty. And this was also prophesied in Scripture by the prophet Isaiah in chapter 53. And in verse 10 he says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. That's to bruise the Lord Jesus Christ and to put him to grief. When I shall make his soul an offering for sin. God made his own son the offering for sin. And he goes on to say in verse 1, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Jesus Christ, God's Son, has borne the wrath of God for sin on the cross of Calvary. And because Jesus became sin and took on sin, he made a way open for you and for I to come into the presence of a holy God. By the shedding of his blood and applying that blood to our souls and our life, we get forgiveness of sin, and that blood purges us from all sin, all iniquity, and we get clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And we inherit eternal life. What have you done to get the salvation? Absolutely nothing. The Bible says, for grace are you saved through faith. Nothing to do with works, nothing to do with what you have done. The plan of salvation was conceived in the mind of God, worked out in Jesus Christ, and the offer of salvation goes to everyone today. And the Bible makes it very plain. There is no other source where your sins will be forgiven. No other place you can go to. You can go to all the holy places in the world. You'll still die in your sins. You can go and do all the work to help people. You'll still die in your sins. There's absolutely nothing you can do to save yourself. Averting the wrath of God was put on Jesus Christ. He is the one who comes and he says to every person, come, follow me. Come, follow me. Come, follow me. If you want eternal life, if you want to know the presence of God, want to know the goodness of God, follow Jesus. We live in a day where people seek eternal life through technology, through different other avenues. But there's no other avenue. Jesus Christ. He became the propitiation for sin and took the wrath of God upon his own body so that you and I can inherit eternal life. And not only inheriting eternal life, but it's to bring us into a relationship with the living God. And to have in our lives, where we live, the plans and purposes and the destiny of God worked out within us, so that we live to the fullest. Because Jesus said, I have come to give you life and to give you life more abundantly. It's destiny. If you want true destiny, it's found in Jesus, the coming to him. He is the one who has written a book about this, the plans for your life. And he says, come, follow me. And he'll do with you what he's done with obscure, uneducated fishermen from the shores of Galilee. Because once you're anointed with the Holy Ghost and the power of God comes upon you, you do things in the youth of God in ways you've never thought possible. See, God looks for those who will give their life to him and have faith in him and in the work of the shed blood of Jesus. And he says, come. Come, follow me. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that salvation, no other name, no sacrifice, whether human or animal, can cleanse from sin. And we thank you, Father, you have never asked us to shed our blood for sin, but you prepared a sacrifice yourself, your own son. And we give you praise and thanks tonight, today, this afternoon, that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin and unrighteousness, and that it purges us from all sin and wickedness. And so we give praise to you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.